Hey, everybody, just a quick word before we start this week's episode. We want to remind you guys, all you listeners out there, that we are available on CairoRadio.com and also on the all-new Cairo Radio app for your smartphones and your tablets. You can go to the Android Marketplace or you can go to iTunes and download the Cairo Radio app completely free, and you can stream this show amongst many, many others and stream live radio, mind you, here from Seattle, straight to your little device, your little handheld device. And it's completely free, guys. Completely free. It's awesome. Go do it.
Array!
Well, hello and welcome, everyone. Welcome to another edition of the Air Raid Podcast. This is episode 159 in what is now officially considered a long and drawn-out series. I am your host, Aaron Roden, and this, of course, is the show where we drop bombs of awesome straight into your ear holes. Yes, indeed, folks. We've got a great show planned for you this week. Welcome to the old listeners. Welcome to the new listeners. If you're just joining us because you saw us on the iTunes front page, thank you. Thank you for checking out our show, our little show here. We've got, like I said, great guest this week. Aisha Tyler, the very funny, the very charming, the very beautiful, is going to be joining us here shortly. We're coming to you from the new ancestral home, the new air raid bomb shelter, if you will, the new studio. Well, actually, we're coming to you from the new garage, the new house. If you haven't been listening to the Air Raid Podcast, this is the first time you've tuned in. We've been going through quite the move as of late, and we're in the new place, man. It's fucking great. I just swore right out of the box. That's probably not a great thing, but anyway, you know, whatever. Yeah, we're in the new house. It's been awesome. We've been working our butts off for the last 5 days getting this place in order, and you know, hopefully the studio will be set up. But we're coming to you from the garage. Right now, we've got some updates on the contest that we've been holding about finding the new name for the new studio. We've got a winner, and we've also got a runner-up because it's definitely one that that I thought was pretty decent. But we didn't end up choosing that name. So we're gonna send them a T-shirt regardless. Why don't we just get into that, right? Can I be a little bit more professional on this? Jesus. Anyway, we had a couple of people email us the suggestion of, like, the bomb shelter. Matt Norris, listener Matt, emailed us a little bit ago. Let's see if this thing will open. Love your show. Two ideas for your new studio. The bomb shelter or bombshell studios. Keep up the good work from listener Matt. Well, thank you, sir. However, we did choose a different one. From Helen, I don't know how to say your last name. I don't even know if that's a real last name, Helen. But listener Helen from Colorado said, just call it Backyard Studios. And that one stuck. That one stuck in my brain. I don't know if that's one that I was like goading people into. Or if it's, you know, one of the ones that I suggested, because we got another email from listener Carrie saying, you kind of ruined it by making all these suggestions, and now people are just going to go with those. And I think that may have been what happened, because I had my mind set on something already, and that's, you know, that's how the cookie crumbles, I guess, right? To use a fancy euphemism. So yes, we're going with Backyard Studios. So thank you, Matt Norris, listener Matt, for your suggestions. You are the runner up, sir. So we will get back to me. Send me your mailing address, and we're going to send you a T-shirt and a poster, regardless of you being a loser at the contest. At the contest, Matt. Not a loser in life. Just loser at this contest. But I did like Bomb Shelter. I do like that. Goes with the Air Raid moniker, right? Yeah. We also got this one. Let's see, from listener Jeff. Listener Jeff says, "Hi, Aaron. I'm new to your podcast, having just found it while searching for Brian Posehn content. Heard about your new studio space and thought of a few decent names you could go with. Playing up the Air Raid theme, I thought Duck and Cover Studios, that's a pretty good one, or Eminent Response Studios fit nicely. If you didn't want a name that included studios, I thought of one of these names might serve you well. The Bunker, the Bomb Shelter, see, there you go, Bomb Shelter again. Missile Command, Command Central. As far as the podcast goes, I like what I hear so far and have happily subscribed. Keep up the good work. Best regards, Jeff." Well, thank you, Jeff. It's nice to have you on board, sir. We didn't quite go with any of your suggestions there, but another guy, listener Matt, had the Bomb Shelter thing locked down. So we're sorry about that. Maybe next time, right? We'll have more of these little contests throughout the years, I'm sure. But I want to talk to you guys about something. I want to talk to you guys. I want to get serious here for a moment, if I can, before we get into the Aisha Tyler extravaganza we're about to bestow on your ear holes. A couple of things this week happened that I'm not totally proud of, and I'm gonna talk about it. Why not? Right? This is my show. I can talk about whatever the fuck I want. There you go. Swear number two. Swear number two. Could be number three. I haven't been keeping track. But I have the tendency to shoot my mouth off. I have the tendency to talk a lot in social settings. I get a little bit nervous when I'm around people, and I just, you know, I just have like vomit of the mouth. I have mouth diarrhea when it comes to social situations sometimes, especially when I'm not totally comfortable. And I'll just start talking about stuff, and I don't think about it. I don't think about what I say. And sometimes that can backfire, as I'm sure you're all well aware of. We've all been in this situation, right? Well, I got called on something the other day. I'm not going to go into what this situation was, but it was a good friend of mine, very close friend of mine, texted me the other day and said, "Hey, you know, I found it very unprofessional when you said this." He was totally right. He was totally right. We were in a social situation, and I was talking about something was really none of my business. And it was very unprofessional of me to say this thing that I did in a somewhat professional setting, I guess, or I heard of it in a professional setting. And you know, it wasn't my place. It wasn't my place to say anything about it or tell anybody about this deal, right? And I got called on it, and rightly so. And I hope that I've patched it up. I texted the guy back and called him and profusely apologized. But man, I've got to get a handle on this. I've got to get a handle on what I say in public settings, especially when it comes to, you know, work or and those of you who've been listening to this program for a long time know that I have had a couple run-ins, especially with coworkers at my day job, concerning things that I've posted on the internet, right? Yeah. Keeps happening, man. I'm noticing that I'm like turning into my father. I'm turning into my dad, because my dad has the same problem. He has diarrhea of the mouth. Diarrhea of the brain sometimes, right? You just say whatever's on your mind. And so that's how I was raised. But I gotta get a grip on being in a social situation and realizing when I'm allowed to say certain things. Maybe that's a little bit of autism. I don't know. Who knows, right? Who knows? Maybe I need to talk to somebody about it. But I did this other thing, and this kind of rolls into it too. Like moving into this new place, right? We're working, we're doing all this work. I've painted, you know, the studio, got the rough paint job on the new studio, did all the painting in the house, took out some of these old lights. This house is like super old. It's like from 1948, right? So everything's super dated in here, but it's got fucking character, man. Swear number three. It's got character, but a lot of that character is really ugly. And so it needs to be gotten rid of. It needs to be taken down. And so I'm taking all this stuff down. I'm not very handy. I'm not a very handy guy. But we have it. It has been super hot in Seattle lately. Just doing all this work. It's hot in the house. And I'm just swearing up a storm. And it's like super early in the morning too. It's like I came down here, I think it was like on a Thursday or Friday. Took a couple days off of my day job and came down here and just working on stuff on the house, right? Before we started moving all this stuff in. So I'm working on the house. We've got these new great neighbors, these great, great people that we live next to. We haven't met all of them, but one of them, they've got a young kid to play with my daughter. I mean, it's going to be awesome. This new place is just so great. But anyway, I'm swearing up a storm when I'm installing these new lights, right? Let's get down to brass tacks. And when I get frustrated and I can't let it go, I have to say every like wrong thing that comes to mind. It's almost like being the disorder that, you know, they spout all these swear words or something like that. God, it's at the tip of my tongue. Why can't I think of it? I'm going to get like 50 emails saying, duh, dude, it's this. Oh, God, let's just keep moving, right? Just keep moving. Well, I'm saying every word that comes to mind, and I can't stop, and I'm flipping out because these lights are not going in right. They're not acting as they should, and I'm getting so frustrated and so angry with the situation, even though it's like something, if I calmed down, took a deep breath, it would be much easier. I'd be wasting less time. I'd be, you know, not shaking and angry, but I'm just yelling in my new dining room at this light fixture. And I'm pretty certain that my new neighbors heard me in there doing that. And as soon as I calm down, I'm like, geez, man, Jesus, Aaron, what are you doing? You're acting like a child, and now you've acted like a child in front of new adults that you just moved in next door to, right? So that's going to be their first impression of you. What am I supposed to do in that situation? Anyway, they get back. The new neighbors get back later in the day from their day jobs, and I go over to them, and I apologize. I'm like, look, you know, you may have heard me early this morning, just swearing up a storm over there. I want to apologize, first of all, because you've got a young child, and I don't want to teach your child all these bad words and bad manners and things like that. And the guy was like, oh, yeah, no problem, man. My wife does the same thing. So that relationship is going to work out just fine, right? That's the one relationship in my life right now that I don't have to worry about, I don't think. So thank God. But man, I've got to get a handle on this. Even my aunt, who is married to like a salty sailor of the sea, who swears up a storm, who I'm, you know, my uncle Drome is probably the one guy that like taught me how to speak that way and be frustrated in every single situation in life and think of everybody else as an idiot, especially when you're behind the wheel. Like, that's the guy that taught me how to act like that. And even she, this weekend, told me I need to swear less. I need to start watching my language because it's going to rub off on my daughter, who's now two, who's now picking up all sorts of stuff and just taking it to the streets, right? Taking it to daycare and all sorts of places. Man, I've got to get a handle on this. I'm an adult. I'm not a child anymore. Jesus, I need to grow up, right? Hey, if you've got some problems on your mind, you want to chat about them, over email or you want to hear me weigh in on any subject or anything like that. Hey, you can email me, Aaron, Aaron, at air-raid.net, and we would love to get your emails. Even if you just want to tell us that you like the show, even if you want to tell us that you hate the show or you want something to change, we love that feedback. So you can get in touch with me, Aaron, at air-raid.net. Send your emails in. We love hearing from you guys. Also, one thing before we get into the Aisha Tyler episode, we would really appreciate you guys, if you're a new listener, if you're an old listener, if you haven't done it yet, go over to iTunes and rate and review the show. Those ratings and reviews really help us out in the long run. They help us continue to get great guests like Aisha Tyler on, and Brian Posehn, and Macklemore, and Bob Saget, and Pete Holmes, and who else? Mike Birbiglia, and Grand Archives, and all the amazing people that we've had on this show in the past. It helps. It helps. It helps. So go to iTunes, log on to your sister's account, log on to your mom's account, subscribe to the show under their name, and download all of the podcasts, right? Because that will help us out in the long run. Or you can donate to the show, you know, at www.air-raid.net. You can donate to us, $5, $10, $50, whatever. Boy, this is plug heavy, isn't it? Yeah. Well, we got to get it in, people. We got to get it in. We got to pay the bills. I got a studio to build here. Don't judge. We got things to do, people to see, people to talk to. Let's do this, shall we? Let's do this. This is Hobosexual, and we'll be right back with more of the Air Raid podcast for your ears. Actually, you know what? Hold on. Hobosexual, amazing band. If you ever have the chance to see these guys play live, two-piece band, they're fantastic. You may have heard us talk about it in last week's episode with Quasi and Helio Sequence and Fruit Bats. They were playing at the Timber Music Festival, Outdoor Music Festival. And they were playing while we were talking to Quasi, and I ended up getting to check out the last bit of their set, and it was amazing. It was so good, and we're going to try to get these guys on sometime soon. So anyway, Hobosexual, yes, we'll be right back with more of the Air Raid podcast for your ears. Stay with us. Aisha Tyler coming up next. All right. Enjoy. We'll be right back. right, we are back. That was Hobosexual with the song Boogie Shuttle. And on the line here, we have the venerable Aisha Tyler. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you. Happy to be here.
Yeah, thanks for taking time out of your busy schedule to chat with me for a moment. You were just at, are you still at E3 right now, or what are you doing now?
Well, I'm in my dressing room at the talk right now. You know, luckily for me, E3 is in LA, so going to E3 just requires driving 20 minutes downtown. But
perfect.
I have been, so obviously E3 is going on, and I've been there. I was there yesterday, Monday and yesterday, and I'm trying to get my hardest to get there today as well. I'm on a plane tomorrow to come up to Seattle, so today's my last day to play any of the games I missed.
Yeah. Now, I can't decide whether I'm, like, most excited to actually talk to the voice of Lana Kane, or I just watched this video, this teaser trailer for the new Battlefront, Star Wars Battlefront. Have you seen that?
What's that?
Have you seen it?
No. First of all, let me just say for the record, for people who've never been to E3, there's like 1 billion games. 1 billion games. They can never be played. Even guys that I know that are like gaming bloggers, like I just did a bunch of press yesterday with guys who like, you know, there's a guy who's got this website called STFU and Play. And I was like, what have you played? He's like, nothing. He's like, I've been doing interviews all day. The lines are a million miles long. He's like, I played absolutely nothing. So I usually go, and, you know, I have a relationship with Ubisoft, so I get to play all of their games. I did their press conference on Monday, presented all their new games. They have a new IP, which is tech speak for intellectual property, which is a brand new game that they've developed. So I went and played all their brand new stuff.
Yeah.
And then I went for a demo for Titanfall, which was making a lot of news at E3. You know, I have a lot of guys who write about gaming for a living, so I usually go to them. What do I have to play? And they give me a short list of stuff to see. And so I just listen to them because I have so little time to actually figure things out on my own. And I eat soft food and I wear a bib just to make things as easy as possible. So
everything's just ground up.
The big games this year were, go ahead.
Everything's just ground up.
Everything's just mixed together, like hamburger and ice cream and peas, just all in a nice soft paste. So this year, the things I've heard, first of all, the three games that UB, there were a lot of excitement, but the three games that UB debuted that people are really, really fired up about is a driving game called The Crew, which looks like Fast 6 on speed. If you could put Fast 6 on speed,
right,
it would be this game. Watch Dogs, which they unveiled last year, which was a brand new IP, which is incredible. I looked at an incredible demo for that. And then a new game called The Division, which is going to be a next-gen game. And I got to check out a demo yesterday. The presentation on Monday was crazy, and then I got to see like the full-length demo, and it's bananas. It's like in the future, and viruses have killed half the population, and you're like trying to reclaim New York. It's crazy. So that's amazing. And then Titanfall, a game called Destiny, and a new zombie game called The Last of Us look really good.
Oh, yeah.
And then, you know, there's always a new Call of Duty, and there's a brand new Assassin's Creed. There's some really cool games coming out this year.
Yeah. So are you excited about the next-gen systems?
You know, everybody's kind of reserved. I'm not a pundit. I'm just a player. I just love games. You know, I'm not a spokesperson for Ubisoft or even for the industry. I just love to play. So I'm always excited about new tech. And what I can say is that, you know, there's a lot of anger and frustration about next-gen, and there's something about maybe Xbox making it so you can't share games with your friends.
I don't know.
I don't know about all the tech aspects of it yet. But what I can say is the next-gen engines are making games that look insane.
They're incredibly
complex. The cities look real. The game, The Division, it's like the most beautiful, terrible, tragic, destroyed New York I've ever seen. It looks so real. And they're making these open-world games where essentially, you know, in the old video games, you hit the edge of the map, you couldn't go off of it, or you'd go to a door, you couldn't open it. Everything is real. You can go anywhere. You can do anything. You don't have to just kind of follow the campaign path of your character.
That's exciting.
What the next-gen gaming is going to be about. I mean, it's like you can just do anything. And that's what's going to be amazing about next-gen gaming.
Now, personally, in my life, like, I find that I am losing the amount of time that I have to devote to playing these things. So, like, maybe, you know, I'll do, like, one or two games a year now, you know, that I really am excited for or something like that, you know. But it seems like a person like you, you got, let's see, you're on Archer, you do The Talk. Let's see, you do some writing as well, correct?
Well, I have a show called Whose Line Is It Anyway? Whose Line Is It Anyway? Coming out in July. And then I have my podcast, Girl on Guy, and then I have a book coming out in July as well. So yes, I'm slammed.
So how do you find the time? How do you find the time to do stuff that you enjoy?
I don't. I just kind of cry it over my bowl of paste. No, you know, I will say that I used to be a much more, I'm still an avid gamer, but I used to be a much more active gamer a few years ago before I had, when I just had like two jobs instead of 17.
Uh-huh.
But I still do find time to game. You know, the time that people spend maybe, luckily I also play with my husband, so the time that most people might go to the movies or go on a date, go to dinner, we play together. But I do, you know, I have a very limited kind of, I have a very limited like silo of gameplay. Like I only play certain kinds of games,
which
is not being a snob. It's just I just play, you know, first person and third person kind of shooter games because
you just stick with what you like.
Cute cars or little bunny rabbits or, you know, talking like fruit. And then I do play on my iPad. So I play when I travel.
Okay.
The best game I played this year was the VGA Game of the Year, the Walking Dead game for the iPad. That was an incredible video game.
You know, I haven't played that one yet, and I've wanted to get into the episodes.
Bananas. It's bananas. And what I have to tell people is it's not as robust as a game you're going to play on your console.
Right, right.
It's actually pretty simple, but the story is so amazing and the characters are so amazing. You get so in love with and attached to them that, you know, everybody was like, get ready to cry. And I was like, I don't cry. I don't feel stuff. I'm dead inside. And then I was like crying hysterically.
You do have a soul.
It's totally worth playing. Totally worth the money. And you can do it anywhere. You know what I mean? If your daughter's home with boogers, you know, you can play during nap time or play on a plane. And it's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. That sounds great. I need to get my wife on board with this.
The Walking Dead game is a good gateway game for somebody who doesn't play because it's very simple. It's not hard to play. It's just about making choices for your character. Very, very fun.
Yeah, yeah. I'll have to get her into that. So do you ever find time to brew beer anymore?
No. God, I haven't brewed in so long. It's really sad. I used to be a really avid home cook, too. Like, we used to make everything from scratch. My husband and I, we'd brew beer, we'd bake bread, we'd make pizza. We had a garden. We were growing all our stuff. I was canning. And now, dinner is do you want chicken from the supermarket or chicken from the other supermarket? So, that's something that has gone by the wayside. When I'm old, I'll be one of those kind of, weird old people that smells like yeast and is like, I've got a new one here. It's made with bacon and rosemary, you know. But now, no home brewing for me for a while. I just drink other people's beer.
If you want to stay on TV, you've got to keep that under wraps.
I do. That's for my old age when I'm when I'm a crazy eccentric old souse.
Yeah. Just buy a lot of cats, and you'll be golden. You'll never be lonely. So I wanted to talk a little bit with you about Archer, because it's definitely one of my top TV shows that I watch. It seems like because every video that I've watched of like you guys doing the voices on this, it's all on, you know, it's all by your lonesome. You're not in a room with a bunch of, you know, with John Benjamin.
I mean, I don't know how the other guys work. We all work alone, definitely.
I
don't even have really anybody read the other side of the conversation. I just do the lines over and over again until I find a funny way to say them.
Yeah, so that's it then. My question was going to be is how do you conjure up that emotion of being severely pissed off at the main character when there's nobody else there in the room?
Well, I have so much buried latent rage at the real John Benjamin that I know. No, I love John. He's amazing. You know, it's just acting. It's just acting.
What
I mean? We're able to be really physical. I'm in a room alone. I can jump around. I can punch the walls. I can kind of go bananas in there. No one's watching. Well, the sound engineer's watching, but he's mainly just looking at porn on his computer, so he doesn't care. And you just work it up until you get there. You know what I mean? And that's just years of practice. Years of being at a low level of rage, I'm able to call on it very easily.
So how did you get started with doing voices? I mean, was that something that you always kind of wanted to do, or was that something that was approached by?
No, I'd done some voices for a couple of animated series, just one-offs, and I did an episode of The Boondocks, which is a pretty infamous episode of The Boondocks. It's like a fan favorite, And I knew Adam Reed because he had created a show I really loved called C-Lab 2021 that I was a huge fan of when I was on Fox News.
Yeah, totally.
And I was a huge C-Lab evangelist when I was on that show.
Uh-huh.
And then they sent me the script, and I knew who he was, and I read maybe 10 pages of it, and it was so funny, and it was so dirty, and I was like, I'll do it. It'll never make it on the air anyway, so it'll be fun to just make this pilot. And I went down, I flew down to Atlanta and recorded it, and that was that. And never thought it would make it on the air, which had nothing to do with me believing in the show. It's an amazing show. I just thought it was too smart and too edgy for TV.
Right.
But luckily, we are on, an incredibly smart, edgy network that believes in, letting artists make art. And it's just done better and better every year. And now it's like a flagship show for FX. And we're all super proud of it. And we just won a Critics Association Award for Best Animated Show on Monday night. And
congratulations.
We couldn't believe it. We were a mess. We were so excited.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, it's. I'm really proud of the show, and my speech was just, I kept saying, guys, if we win, we have to come up with something. We have to come up with a bit. And I was like, oh, we're not going to win. I was like, we got to come up with something. So we kind of came up with this plan, and then, of course, none of us followed it, because we're all just like a bag. We're literally like our kids on the show, just like drunk, wet cats, and we were like wandering around the stage, and I was like, oh, this show's the one. It was just a mess. And then we just went and did shots.
Yeah, yeah.
So pretty much if you meet us in person, we're just like our Archer characters,
You're just drunk.
Less attractive.
Drunk and buxom.
Yeah, less attractive. More clothes, less attractive.
So would you, let's see, in real life, would you choose to have two Tech Nines by your side?
No, they're a little bulky. I think they're hard to run with. You know what I mean? Especially where Lana has them holstered. I think they would really affect her, like, kind of tactical efficiency. I would probably go for one Tech Nine strapped in a different place and then, some smaller, more facile equipment.
Yeah.
They're very decorative, those Tech Nines.
Right,
I think
if
she had to run somewhere, they would be flapping all around and hitting her in the side.
They probably would, yeah. And that's where reality and animation kind of clash.
Oh, of course. Well, also, Lana shot Archer like 7 times. I mean, that's really, not only is that painful and kind of inconsiderate, I'm pretty sure it's illegal.
Yeah, totally. So is your life just awesome? Is that, that's what I'm kind of getting here.
First of all, that's very kind. That's a very kind question. Here's what I will say. I'll say I'm super grateful.
Yeah.
I've been very lucky. I think a big part of this business is luck. Talent's very important. Hard work is probably the most important thing. And then not quitting is also very important. A lot of times success is just about not bailing. I really love what I do, and I'm super lucky to be able to do it for a living. And I work super hard. I don't sleep. I'm on the verge of an exhaustion-induced mental breakdown. But other than that, I'm super lucky to have the work that I have and be able to do it, and I feel very grateful for that.
That's fantastic. That's fantastic. We're going to go to our second musical break here. We're featuring songs by the band Hobosexual. This song is called Concrete Corporate, and we'll be right back with more of the Air Raid Podcast for your ears.
Yell aloud now. Attack now! replies the sound. And now I'm running out the back door, jumping over fences, over cars. Ain't nobody gonna catch me. I got 3 feet long like Santa Claus.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the show. Joined here by the beautiful and very talented Aisha Tyler. Thank you so much for taking some time. So are you guys recording the talk today? Is that what's going on?
Yeah, every day. So I'm in the dressing room right now, and then we'll do it live at 11 o'clock West Coast time, fly to the East Coast at 2 p.m.
Oh, cool.
And then I'll go from here and hopefully head to E3 for a couple hours, and then I'm doing an episode of the Strombolopoulos Show for CNN, and then I record two podcasts tonight, two more shows of the talk tomorrow, then I got on a plane and head to Seattle.
Who do you have on the podcast coming up? What's coming up for that?
Joe Manganiello is on the show this week from True Blood. I'll see from True Blood. Incredible guy. Yeah, Magic Mike. I mean, a great actor. And also, you think he's this kind of like amazingly good-looking, kind of genetically freakish guy, but his life story is incredible, and he had a really dark period in his life where he was addicted to alcohol and drugs, and he's amazing. He tells it he's amazing. So that show is like a must-listen. And Chris Rock is coming up.
What?
I've got a very special episode with Chris Rock.
Oh, my God.
I'm hoping to get Serge Tankian on. We're going to have Tim Ferriss, the guy who created the 4-Hour Body, the 4-Hour Work Week, and a lot of really amazing episodes coming up. The show's great, though. If you haven't ever listened to the podcast, you can go back to the beginning, because we've had everybody from Tom Morello from Rage Against the Machine and Audioslave to Questlove from The Roots to Andy Richter, Anthony Bourdain. It's an incredible collection of people, and those episodes are, for the most part, free.
And you can
just get them on iTunes or just go to growonguy.net, and you can go back through the whole archive, and there's some pretty extraordinary conversations on there. The nice thing about podcasting, which you probably know, is that people can say whatever they want, and I encourage them to say whatever they want. And so I try to give people on my show a really singular experience with artists that they admire, that feel like they're going to hear things from this person they've never heard anywhere else. And you know, normally when you're doing press, you're doing a 6 or 7 minute segment on a late night show, and you know, there's not a lot to do there, but really people get this insight into people's lives. And you know, we had Maria Bamford on talking about depression she's an incredible guest.
I listened to that one. I'm a big fan of your show, and that's something that we try to do on this show as well. And it is kind of hard to do sometimes, especially being like, you know, somebody like me, it's a no name coming in, and you have people coming into your living room that you venerate, and it's difficult to talk to somebody see on the television about, you know, serious subjects.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And, I do think the thing about the podcast is you can be long form and you can be wide ranging, and, you know, and you can really create a space for people to tell the truth. And I think, you know, I just corner them alone in my production office and wear them down until they say things that later they wish they hadn't. That's my overall strategy.
Exactly. And then they email you back and say, hey, could you maybe edit out that one part where
I tell them that, you know, because I'm not a journalist. I'm not here to get anybody.
So I always tell them,
I say, anything you say here, if you feel like you don't want it in the show, I'll cut it out of the show. I'm not, you know, the interviews typically run 90 minutes to 2 hours, so I can lose 5 minutes out of a conversation if somebody feels anxious about it. I'm not here to like put anybody on blast or blow them up, you know.
Oh, totally, yeah. And that's what I love about this medium too. I like talking with people like you about what you guys do and you know, the trials and tribulations of being out there in the public eye.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And I think, you know, it's people love to talk about themselves. So
Yeah, exactly.
Once you get them going, it's good.
I love talking about myself. Nobody cares, but I still do it anyway.
I care.
Oh, thank you. Hey, so there's you do a fair amount of stand up as well. That's your 15th
yeah,
job.
That's how I got started. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. How did that start for you? What made you want to do that?
I did sketch and improv in college, in high school and college.
Yeah.
And and then got out of school and realized I didn't want to be an attorney. That would have been bunk.
Yeah.
And just was casting about for something creative to do and just tried it once and loved it. And yeah. I mean, fell in love with it the first time I tried it. This was going to be my 21st year doing stand up.
Oh, wow. Were you like the class clown when you were little?
No, not even. No, I was a huge nerd, total outcast.
Oh, really?
Social pariah, alone, talk
no
to myself,
way.
Voices.
No way. Yeah. That's bullshit.
Played along. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. I just had this conversation with Chris Rock about how outsidership. It's rare that you find a comedian who is popular and funny, you know,
those guys
don't have to try. You know what I mean? It's usually the kid who really is on the outside looking in that becomes a really good observer.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
also in Chris's case and in my case becomes funny to keep from getting beat to a pulp. So,
it's a defense.
And also
yeah,
for me,
it's
I
definitely
got used
a defense
a lot, so
mechanism.
Being funny was a way to, I would say terrible things about myself before other people had a chance to say terrible things about me.
Right,
you know what I mean?
Right.
It was like a way to deflect a lot of that, like, you know, like mean energy away from me. It was like, yeah, I know you're going to say I'm big and funny looking and ugly or whatever it is you want to say about me. And I got big hands and, you know, all the, and whatever racist thing you want to say. And I'll just say it first. And that way, you know, I'm just going to take the air out of you. Yeah, exactly. Take the power away. And just, I'll be better at it than you. You know what I mean? I'll be funnier at making fun of me than you are.
Right.
And that was my strategy for sure.
That's great. I totally get that too. I was definitely that way as a kid, but I was always the one that was kind of loudmouth and stuff. I think that's like borderline like ADHD is what I had.
Oh sure, absolutely.
You know?
Yeah, I was definitely a talker. You know, I get thrown out of class a lot for like having kind of like crazy energy.
Yeah.
But I was definitely not a class clown. And it's funny because my friends like from high school like, oh, I always knew you'd be a comedian. I'm like, no, you didn't. You don't know who I was. Get out of my face with that crap showing up here asking for money.
Yeah, yeah. So there's been a lot of controversy as of late. Maybe probably going on for the last year ever since that thing blew up with Tosh, with Daniel Tosh making the rape joke. During his stand-up routine. What do you, as a female comedian, what's your take on the rape joke controversy?
I don't know. I mean, you know, he's not the first guy to do it. I've worked with a lot of guy comics who have done them before.
Yeah, yeah.
I would love to have like a really great kind of like salient feminist point about this. I feel like the court of public opinion pretty much comes down on these guys in a way that they get spanked plenty. You know what I mean?
And their
ramifications. I do believe that like comedy at its best is social commentary.
Yeah.
And is meant to strip away kind of all the social conventions and get at the truth of things. And so because it's an art form that's about honesty, there can't be any rules about what isn't off limits. That being said, I think there are brilliant ways to say things, and there are really like ham-fisted, stupid ways to say things. And there are topics that I think every topic is. There's no topic that's off limits, but it's about how you're talking about it and what your intention is.
Totally.
And I think intention is everything. So, you know, I don't really know Daniel Tosh that well. We've met a couple of times.
Uh-huh.
He, you know, from what I understand, a big part of his act is being shocking and incendiary.
But
I haven't seen a bit, so I can't say. I think a lot of women would say you can't make jokes about rape, and I totally understand that sensibility. But I've seen women make really funny, really edgy, really provocative jokes around the topic of rape that I think make people think about the topic in a meaningful way. So I would never say that a topic is off limits, but again, it's about intent. What is the point? What are you trying to say about sexuality and violence? You know what I mean? If you're trying to say something smart about it, that's great. And if you're not, then, you know, you'll get spanked. You don't even need me to give you a spanking. You'll get spanked by everybody else.
Yeah, exactly. And it's got to be more about like, you know, who's the butt of the joke? The person who
exactly who's
was,
the butt of the joke,
yeah, yeah,
and are you being the aggressor in the joke, or you know, are you being sympathetic in when you're telling the joke? I mean, those things are all critical.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, definitely. So what's coming up for you, Aisha? What
well,
name
I,
all your?
I'll write it down for you. you can see me on Jimmy Fallon next Wednesday. I think it's the 20th. of June, and then I'll be in Seattle at Laughs Comedy Stop in Kirkland, Washington, this Friday and Saturday.
Yeah.
And then, so after I'm on Fallon, then I will be. What else is happening? July 6th, my book comes out. It's called Self-Inflicted Wounds. You can get it everywhere, but you can see it by going to growonguy.net, clicking on the banner. You can pre-order it now. I'm trying to encourage everybody to pre-order my book now, because if they pre-order it, it will debut on the bestseller list. So
nice.
People can go check the book out now and pre-order it, and then it'll get delivered to them like Christmas morning on July 6th. And then July 16th is the debut of The Brand New Who's Fun Is It Anyway. I'm taking over for Drew Carey. That'll be on the CW, 8 o'clock on Tuesdays. And it debuts with a double back to back episode Tuesday the 16th.
Cool.
I'm touring all over the country, so, and you can see me every day on the talk, and we just started working on season 5 of Archer, and that debuts in January 2014.
Oh, that's awesome. That is so cool. I'm really excited for that, especially. Now, who's going to be helping you out on Whose Line Is It Anyway? Is it still kind of the same cast of characters? Or?
Ryan, Colin, and Wayne, the core team are back. They're
okay.
Brilliant. They're funnier than they've ever been.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. You know, they've been collectively probably doing improv for 60 or 70 years.
Yeah.
So they're brilliant. They're insane. And then they'll be on, and then we'll have a rotating fourth seat, just like the old show. Some guys you recognize from before, some guys you don't. I think the biggest pleasant surprise for us was we expected the audience to be all old people, just because the show's been on for 12 years, but they're all 25-year-old kids who either grew up on it or have been watching it on YouTube since it's been off the air. So we're really excited about the show and can't wait for people to see it.
Well, that's great. That's fantastic.
Yeah,
well,
yeah. So it's people can check that out. You can always get news about me at AishaTyler.com or follow me on Twitter. Twitter.com/AishaTyler. All my news is there.
Wonderful. Well, hey, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me today. I wish you the best of luck in all of your endeavors. It sounds like more like 20 endeavors that you got going rather than 17.
I got all, yes. The black female Ryan Seacrest. That's who I am. I'm on all the jobs.
Yes,
thank
but you,
you
look better than Ryan Seacrest.
Thank you, guys. I'll take it. Thank you.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Aisha. Have a great
day. Have a good one.
Thanks.
Thanks. Bye.
And your brother, don't give me no lie, don't give me no lip, I like your mother.
All right, well, there you have it, folks. Aisha Tyler, man, you can tell she's a pro, right? Talk. Yeah, she was fantastic. It was such a pleasure to get to talk with her. You know, we had it lined up in the beginning. She was supposed to actually come in studio, and we were supposed to meet and everything. But at that point, we were only going to get to talk with her for like 15 minutes or something like that. So I finagled something to do it over the phone, and which is not normally what we like to do here at the Air Raid Podcast. So we could talk a little bit longer, because she is, man, I mean, busy lady, right? Holy smokes. If I had that much jobs going on, or that many jobs going on, to use proper English, I would probably just have a heart attack. I'd probably just die. That's how I would operate right there. I would be dead. I would be dead. There would be no joy in life for me doing that kind of work, I guess. I don't know. Who knows? The future will tell, right? Yes. Well, hey, thank you guys so much for tuning in this week. Let's see. We really appreciate it. And if you found out about us on iTunes, because we're up on the iTunes front page, featured there at the top, thank you for taking the time and checking it out. Plus, you can go to our website. There's only 20 episodes that are available on iTunes, but at our website, www.air-raid.net, we've got all of our past archived episodes available for you. I believe you can actually download those as well if you access the RSS feed, which I don't know. It's you know, we've had some people ask in the past. I've tried to explain how to do that, but I don't know if it works for every, you know, like every carrier or every like iTunes and Windows, or I'm sorry, Macintosh and Windows computers. I don't know if it all works the same. On Windows, you can access it, you can download all that stuff. I don't know how to use it. I don't know how to use a Mac. You see, I just got a little choked up there. I just got a little choked up. I don't know how to use a Mac. I got a Mac put in front of me the other day, and I had no idea how to operate it. It was so foreign. It was so foreign to me. I had no idea how to do stuff. And the guy was just screaming at me. It was basically, he was like, it's so intuitive. It's so much better than Windows. I was like, well, hey, man, I've been using Windows computers since computers came to be. So get off my nuts. Get off my nuts, bro. Bro-em. Anyway, yeah, that's how that went down. We are no longer friends, that person and I. Just really, really working the relationship magic this week, aren't I? Yeah. Like I said at the beginning of the show, if you've got something on your mind you want us to talk about, or if you've got a band that you like to hear, or you know you got a comedian that you'd like to share with us, get in touch, will you? Aaron, AARON @ air-raid.net. You can email me there and tell me all your suggestions, all your hatred. We'll just take it in. We're like a blob. We consume all of it. And we love hearing from you guys. So, yeah, email us. Also, go to iTunes, rate and review the show. You can also donate to the show at www.air-raid.net. So go and do that. We really could use your help right now. And also, what was I going to say? I was going to say one more thing. One more plug at the end of this show. Next week, Pete Holmes, comedian Pete Holmes, going to be joining us. It's a very, very comedian-heavy month that we're entering into here. Not a lot of music, but comedians. So Pete Holmes will be on the show next week. Make sure you guys tune into that. And we'll see you then, right? Yeah. Thanks for listening, guys. Tell your friends. Tell your friends about us. Tell your mother. Tell your sister. Tell your brother. Tell your father. Do that. All right. This is Hobosexual with the song Penthouse Lover, and we'll be back next week with comedian Pete Holmes talking about all sorts of stuff, how he got into comedy, and how he. You know, conducts himself on stage. It's a great conversation. Love that guy. Absolutely love him. All right, this is Hobosexual, Penthouse Lover. We'll be back next week with more of the Air Raid podcast for your ear holes, people. All right, enjoy your week, everybody. Jump in the top, peace of mind.